in the Spirit and by the Spirit. Now, in the first service, we examined the Spirit in the book of Acts. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, so we're going to look at the epistles shortly. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I'll start from 18. But as God is true, our word towards you, that's our message, was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, that's the message, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, us, that's Silas and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Same thing in Romans 15 verse 8. So, in our study so far, we said the word promise is not plural. Am I making sense? Okay, it's a singular word, the word epagelia, because of context. It's a promise. And then we said the promise is the promised Spirit. That they were not promises in plural. It was the promised Spirit. Righteousness as a legal status was available in the Old Covenant. When I say the Old Covenant, I mean before Jesus died. Right? And people had forgiveness of sins, no doubt. But the Spirit was the promise. The Spirit was the promise. And I told you in the first service that you can't have promise or promises in the new covenant. You can't have promise or promises in the new covenant because the new covenant is the fulfillment of the promise. Whenever you read the promises or what the term promises in the new covenant or in the epistles, it refers to what God has done. So that's our study so far. So we said the promised Spirit, which is the promise of the Spirit. Quickly go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, the word in thee is not in Abraham, but by faith. Alright? In this, not in a person. Right? That's the way the translation goes. But in, not in a person, but in an action. Right? In this, that is in faith, shall all the nations be blessed. Not in Abraham. Alright? In faith. And that's why the next thing he says, that they, we of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. In fact, if you read Romans 4, it talks about the steps of Abraham, talking about the step of faith. So he's not referring to Abraham, but to faith. So Abraham believed in the Lord. Genesis 15:6. He's calling him for righteousness. So he's not talking about Abraham as a person, but Abraham's faith or Abraham's believing the gospel. So that's what he's saying. Not in Abraham. Okay? Abraham is not your father. He's not my father. Well, I'm not sure about you, but he's not my father. Okay, because Abraham is the father of the Jews, and I think that some Nigerians claim to be Jews. But I thought there was a DNA test I read about during the week that disproved that. I don't know why we want to be Jews. Why do you want to be Jews? He came unto his own received him not. Hallelujah. That was interesting. And you find Christians think pilgrimage trips to Jerusalem. I had a friend. You understand what I'm saying in a moment. I have a friend who, when we were younger in the 90s, we made fun of people who traveled to Jerusalem to see the grave of Jesus. You're born again, you're the new creation, you're looking for a grave. And to look at all the sites, historical sites, the upper room, the lower room, Solomon's porch. And then we used to make fun of people and laugh at them as being sense knowledge people until I saw my friend in Jerusalem last year. So I asked him, I said, Emoji, because that's how I don't want to mention it. Emoji, what bean? Why bean? That's the language used back then. What bean, why bean? What's the realm here? Yeah, you know, just Tories, just so I said Tories. You wore a prayer shawl, buddy. That's not Tories. There were just a feel of it as an emoji. You backsliding. That's the language of those days. You backsliding. What's the hell? You not believing the gospel? You going all the way to see? Blessed are those who have not seen. And have believed. And there's no problem you all put JP at the back of your name. Saying that you need another name outside Christ Jesus. Amen. Selah. You know, so we said that. But then you see, a lot of people call themselves Abraham's folks because they don't understand that Abraham himself was waiting for the promise. And Abraham without us wasn't perfect, so how would he now be the father of those who are believers? The wrong teaching about Abraham. Abraham himself is surprised at what we are made of him. So look at that Galatians 3:8 again. The scriptures foreseeing, right, that's what is written. So it's not that the scriptures as a person, that it is written. When you see scriptures, it is written, alright, not that the scriptures saw anything. It says it is written that Abraham, pay attention, so the person who foresaw that God would justify the eating through faith was Abraham. Is that clear? The person who foresaw that God would justify the eating through faith was who? Abraham. The word there is the word to preach the gospel before. It's just one statement. Proheuzomai. I'll spell it for you. Proheuzomai. Proheuzomai. It means to give a promise before it's fulfilled. To say something, a news before it happens. Now today, we don't pro the gospel. We post the gospel. That is, he said it as something that will happen, alright? But we are saying it as something that has happened. That's what he's saying. So he says, preach before the gospel, alright? Saying, the person who spoke here will be Abraham. Abraham was a person who spoke here because Abraham was a prophet. Genesis chapter 20 verse 7 calls Abraham God's spokesman, Nabai. N-A-B-I. Abraham was a prophet. So Abraham's utterances will be recorded on behalf of who? God. So the things that Abraham said were the things were written that God said to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Abraham was a prophet. So if anybody said or if anybody preached the gospel, it will be who? Abraham. Abraham, because Abraham had seen that God will justify the evening through faith, he therefore announced ahead of time what God will do. Does it make sense to you now? So Abraham is a prophet there, right? Because you can't have scriptures without prophets. Abraham is a prophet. Is that clear? So he's God's spokesperson in Genesis chapter 20 verse 7 and Genesis 15 6. Look at John 8 56 to 58. Watch this now. He says, as Jesus is speaking here, I said, your father Abraham, Jesus never said my father. That's instructive. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Remember what I told you? Who saw God justify the eating through faith? Abraham. Good. Then in verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. So Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham was a prophet. Hebrews 1:1, God who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past. Let me explain what prophet means. Prophet means spokesperson, somebody who speaks on behalf of someone. Nabai in Hebrew. Okay, Hebrews 1:1, God who has sundry times and diverse manners spoke in time past to our fathers by the prophets. In other words, Abraham spoke to the fathers of the Jews on behalf of God. He was a prophet of God. Abraham was a prophet of God. So, what was Abraham speaking? He was speaking about Christ. Right? He saw that God would justify the Ethan. The word Ethan there means godless. Through faith. He preached before the gospel. Hebrews 1:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Abraham was one of the people he's referring to. That's Hebrews 11:1. Old Testament. Substance of things so poor, evidence of things not seen. I've explained that to you over and over again. The word things there is the word action. Not a house, not a car, not a husband, or a wife, or children. Actions. Substance of actions hoped for, that's the word pragma, P-A-P-R-A-G-M-A, and evidence of things not seen. Actions not seen. So everybody before Jesus came, they, by faith, believed in what Jesus will do. That's what Hebrews 11:1 means. Substance, hypotasso, something you rely upon, things hoped for, evidence, election, which eleko, sorry, that means persuasion. So they were persuaded before Jesus did it. We are persuaded because he has done it. They were persuaded because he did it. So to us, faith is a past tense. To them, faith was hope. Faith was what will be done. Hebrews 11:1. That is why they without us cannot be made perfect. So they were the beginning of the journey. We started at the end of the journey. They without us. They, right? This is Christ's death and resurrection. This is they. This is we where we are. They without us. So this had to happen before they were perfected. So they without us were not made perfect. So Abraham therefore announced the gospel before Jesus fulfilled the gospel. Does it make sense? All right, good. So, what was the promise? Galatians 3, verse 8. God will justify the heathen through faith. Someone say through faith. Through faith. Now look at Hebrews 2. The substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. What did Jesus do? Put your hands in Hebrews 2, let's see Hebrews 1 quickly. Who being the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's what they hoped for. Hebrews 1, 3 was the hope of the Old Testament saints. Now look at Hebrews 2.10. Hebrews 2.10 is now more explanatory. Can we take it together? Hebrews 2.10. Let's go. Whom are all things? Good. About whom are all things? In bringing what? Many sons. What are many sons? Remember rivers of living water. Can you remember yesterday? Rivers of living water. So whenever you see it in the multiplication, just like he says, in him shall all the fullness dwell. Fullness doesn't refer to God. Fullness refers to sons. The pleroma. Fullness shall dwell. He becomes the head of the sons. He is the firstborn among many brethren. So the same thing here. Just like John 12:24. A kernel of wheat abides alone except it falls to the ground. Then he brings forth much fruit. So he was called the only begotten Son of God in the four Gospels till he died and rose again. Then he's called the firstborn among what? Many. That's much fruit. So Hebrews 2:10, he brought many sons to glory. Many sons. The word son is the word who he is. The same word used for him in Hebrews 1:3, Hebrews 1:2. Who spoke in his son, by his resurrection, he has now brought many sons. He's now called the captain, the leader. Many sons. Hebrews 2 and 12 or 11, it says he that sanctified, and those that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. Saying, I will declare my name unto thy brethren. My brethren, in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee? Let me ask you a question. Was this available in the Old Testament, or it was a promise? Huh? Promise. Very good. It wasn't available, it was a promise. So they could only expect it to happen. Hebrews 12:23. You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Verse 22. To the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 12, 23 now. To the general assembly, that's a festival. The church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. We'll tell you, it means the just men are now perfected. Where? In the spirit. Pay attention to that. So, the church of the firstborn, can we call it a church of sons? Huh? Can we call it the church of sons? Very good. So, this was the city that Abraham and all the patriarchs were looking forward to. Are we correct? Whose builder and maker is God. Are we dealing with an estate or people? Very good. So, that's Hebrews 12, 22 to 23. So get back to Galatians 3. So let's watch this. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, pay attention now, might come on who? On who? Through who? What is it? We now receive what? The promise of the Spirit through what? Is it the promise that the Spirit gives, or the promise which is the Spirit? Very good. The promise which is the Spirit. Notice Paul's rebuke in chapter 3 verse 1. Oh foolish Galatians. Oh foolish Galatians. Anybody from Galatia here? Nobody yet. Imagine if you had to preach in Galatia. Then you go to this verse. You just say, oh foolish, praise the Lord. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evident and said, but crucified among you. Can we take verse 2 together? Only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by what? Very good. So what do we receive by faith? The Spirit. Come on. Are we together here? What do we receive by faith? The Spirit. So what is the promise? What was the promise? Very good. Chapter 4. Verse 4. I want us to read it together. Verse 4 to verse 7. Let's go. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. 6. Because you are sons, God has sent on the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Father. Verse 7. Moses Aaron bought a son, if a son and heir of God through who? So what are we today? What did we receive by faith? What? The Spirit. Very good. The Spirit. So, the Spirit of the Son. When you say the Spirit of adoption, you mean the Spirit of sons. Is that the Spirit of God? Is that the Holy Spirit? Very good. So, now look up guys, let's quickly tie something up. When we read the book of Acts, the Spirit was primarily found in activity. But in the epistles, and that will be whose prophecy? Whose prophecy? Joel's prophecy. Because Joel's prophecy related the Spirit in activity. But when we read the epistles, we will see the Spirit as nature. That's our nature. So we say, the Spirit of God is the nature of the believer. It's a nature. He said, because you are sons, praise God. See, I'm a son. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of who? His Son. That's the Spirit of Son. You know, in the first service, we looked at the Spirit in Acts. Now, in the epistles, primarily, what you're going to see is the Spirit is your nature. Okay. So look at Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. So when you see Holy Spirit or Spirit of God, many times in the epistles, is referring to the new creation. I said that to you. Don't forget. I didn't say all the time, but many times. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Let's say it together now. Let's go. And grieve not the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, whereby he is sealed under the day of redemption. I remember a dear minister, when I started learning about the anointing, we learned about the anointing. He said, be careful. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. There wasn't. The Holy Spirit is moving, don't shout. You know where I was going to shh. God's going there. The Holy Spirit. And we say, where is the Holy Spirit? He's moving. Who saw him? Shh. You're about to grieve him. It's so funny. But look at that word grieve. It's the word lupio. L-U-P-E-O. L-U-P-E-O. Now, look at how it's used. It's for making one sad or distressed. Or better still, to make someone uncomfortable. Now, let's see where it's used. John 16:20. You shall be sorrowful. And he says, your sorrow shall be turned to joy. To mourn. That's used for man. John 21:17. That's 17. No. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He's uncomfortable. He's feeling distressed. Romans 14, verse 15. Romans 14, verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, Romans 14:15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For if I make you sorry, who is it then that makes me glad? By the same which is made sorry by me. 2 Corinthians 2:4. I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you will be grieved, you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly towards you. Verse 5. Then he hath caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may be overcharged you all. 2 Corinthians 6. This is Paul's writings now. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Okay. 2 Corinthians 7:8. But though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent. 2 Corinthians 7:8. 2 Corinthians 7:9. For you were made sorry. 2 Corinthians 7:9. 2 Corinthians 7:11. That you sorrowed with a godly sort. You sorrowed with a godly sort. That's talking about remorse. Remorse. That's it. Now, 4 Thessalonians 4:13. I'm going to ask you what you have observed. 4 Thessalonians 4:13. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Okay. So far, in using the word lupio that we have read, what have you noticed? Who was it used for? Huh? Man. Right. Good. Used for who? Alright. So, is Ephesians 4:30 referring to God or the believer? I'm asking a question. See it. Ephesians 4:30. Who becomes distressed? God or you? You or God? Come on, why are you quiet? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't make uncomfortable. Don't make sad. By what? By not walking in love. Because he talks about communication that comes out of your mouth. Then he mentions bitterness and wrath and anger. Evil speaking. So, if there's bitterness and anger and evil speaking, who is grieved? If you say it's God that is grieved and you are not grieved, that means you are not born again. So, pay attention now. Your spirit is the spirit of promise, which has the life of God, which is the life of God, has the life of God, which is born of God. So what becomes uncomfortable when you don't walk in the spirit? Your spirit. Is that clear enough? Because your spirit is the proof of redemption. Because you have been redeemed from such behavior, you've been purchased from evil speaking and from bitterness. So the moment that action comes, which is actually a product of your mind and your thinking and your emotions, who becomes grieved? You! Because you are of God. Hallelujah. Or let me put it in a milder form. Your spirit becomes grieved. Okay, let me ask. What becomes grieved? Is it the spirit of the Son of God? Huh? Does a new creation in Christ become grieved because of unforgiveness? Is unforgiveness the nature of the man in Christ? So when there's unforgiveness, who becomes grieved? Is it clear? Is it clear? Why? Because that behavior is not consistent with what? Your character. Sorry, your nature. Because character is what you now do with it. It's not consistent with your nature. In other words, Ephesians 2:10 says, you are the workmanship of God, created where? In Christ Jesus. We'll check that. All the good work. So you were sealed on the day of redemption. So, how do you know if you walk in bitterness, you become uncomfortable? Isn't that true? So, why are you uncomfortable? He cannot be the one who did it that is uncomfortable. You got my point? If you walk in bitterness, you know that you didn't do the right thing. Now, because it means your emotions were not taken from your nature. Your nature is found only in Christ. And that is how the new creation seems. Oh, did I say that? That is how we seem. When we do things contrary to the spirit that we are or we have, which is of God. That is a sin. We don't look at sin from the law. We look at sin from our nature. Praise God. So we look at sin from our nature. Because, you know, that's not your nature. That's not who you are. So it becomes sin because it's not who you are. It's not a sin because you fail the standard. No. We have no standards to meet. We only have a nature to walk in. Praise the Lord. We have no, there's no measurement given to us. No, there's no race we're running, but we have a nature to walk in. He says, walk in the Spirit. What Spirit? The promised Spirit. What is the promised Spirit? The Spirit of the Son. Praise God. In other words, walk in your nature that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is not you. The flesh is the old man. And the flesh influences us by the world. So, the Spirit is my nature. Say, the Spirit of God is my nature. That's the DNA of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, sin will be what? Not walking in the Spirit. How was it? Sin is not, you didn't meet up to a standard. It actually means you fell below you, the standard. It's not you didn't meet up a standard. No, we are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. The man born again was born perfect. Praise God. So I say perfect. Hallelujah. Some people say, how are you today? Say, I'm perfect. Praise God. We're born perfect. You know, we were perfected. The Spirit of just men what? Perfected. Praise God. So the Spirit in the new covenant is the nature of the man who is born again. Follow this one. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. Let's go back there. You learn something? As from 13. In whom you also trusted after you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, in whom also after you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So we are so sealed. So the Spirit of promise is the proof that we are God's son. That is our sonship. That's our sonship. So, the things that are written in the epistles are not instructions. They are more than instructions. They are putting you in awareness of who you are. It's not an examination you are being given. To see. You say, well, you know, when you do an examination, and we do like this, we say, well, they will set an exam for you to see. So, you begin to write exams. You go and read. Then you prepare. Okay? You prepare. And then you get to the exam hall. If you don't have a pro raho given to you by men, or you have read very well anyway, and you understand what's there, and you are not praying, you only pray about an exam that you not study for. The Lord, I receive this stuff. If you are taking your time to read, you just say, I thank the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the next one. So you go in there and say, what is? Then you begin to answer questions. No. In the epistles, what we have is not an examination. It's like ticking the boxes. And saying, hey, this is you. This is you. He said, you shall not teach any man know the Lord. For they shall all know me. Praise the Lord. From the least of them to the greatest. Hallelujah. So, let's follow this. So, this is the proof that we are God's children. That's the nature. Just like you know your children by their DNA. The gene of the man who is born again is the spirit. The gene. That's God's DNA. Praise the Lord. You don't become people's children by behavior. Say, that guy can be my son. Say, why? I like the way he dresses. You're probably not okay. You become people's children by birth. I'm born of God. Say, I'm born of God. Hallelujah. That's it. And that's the DNA. So the spirit in the epistles primarily deals with your nature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 2. Verse 9. But as is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard. This is quoting from Isaiah 64 verse 4. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. How can God be searching the things of God? Hallelujah. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but who? Praise God. Listen carefully now. It's the same thing we have been saying since. What we're giving a redemption. Look at verse 12. Let's take 12 together. Now, hold on. The Spirit in verse 10 and 11, is that the same thing as the Spirit of promise? Look at 12. Let's take 12 together. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Hey. Is he referring to God or the new creation? The Spirit which is of God. So when he says the Spirit of God earlier, he meant the Spirit which is of who? Alright, go on. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now, who is the one teaching? We. Praise God. Comparing spiritual things with what? Pay attention now. The word spiritual is of the Spirit. So look at now 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's take verse 15 together. Let's go. But he that is spiritual judges yet himself. Praise God. He that is spiritual, what? It means is actually to know, to be able to distinguish. Pay attention now. Now, who is he that is spiritual? Is he the one who has received the Spirit? Good. Is he the one who is born again? So, what does he do? He judges. So, that means from the new birth, we have the capacity to know things. The things of God. So, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Is that the Spirit of the Son? Huh? Is that the Spirit of the new creation in Christ? To know the things that are of God. The things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Are you there? Very good. Look at 1 John 2:20. So he said about we have received. We know. Praise God. Say, I know the things of God. Say, I know the things of God. I'm not confused about God. Praise God. My spirit is of God. It came from God. It's the spirit of the Son. Praise God. I know. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 John 2:20. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you what? Nothing. Sometimes the reason why we never get to the reality of some scriptures is because they have been used for other things. We know all things. You have an examination, or we are going for an interview. Say, I know all things. I know all things. How can you know all things? You can use that loosely. For example, I can lead you to a theater now. Since you know all things, you're going to operate a patient. No, this is not part of the all things. Obviously, you need to read what he was saying in context. 1 John 2. Praise God. I know all things. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Well, I'm happy with that. I'm very, very happy. Can I make a request? Say what? Give me your car. I mean, give me freely. You can do all things. No, not that kind of all things. You know, he said, I know how to abase and how to abound. I know how to have and not have. I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. So don't pick it out of context. Start from the beginning. So you can do all those things. Hallelujah. 1 John 2, are you there? Very good. Okay. Let's see verse 19. Praise God. Are you there? They went out from us and they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have not doubted, continued with us. They went out that they might have made mouth and they were not of us. Verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. What's he talking about? He's talking about the capacity to detect error. Look at 20. 21. Let's say 21 now. Everybody, 21. Let's go. Everybody, come on. Everybody. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. So hold on. So the all things is referring to is what? The truth. Go on. But because you know it, and that's no lie, is of the truth. 22. Let's go. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. 23. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. Whosoever acknowledges the Son hath the Father. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that you have heard from the beginning remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even what? Eternal life. Look at verse 26. Let's take it together. Let's go. This thing have I written unto you concerning those that were. Hallelujah. So we have an unction to detect error. Is that clear now? Is that very clear? I write to you concerning those who deceive you. Because he said, false prophets have gone into the world. Many antichrists. That's why verse 27 becomes the point. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. You're talking about not going to church. Who is the any man? Those that seduce you. Is it making sense? But as the same anointing, imagine he's talking about Christ, and he says the same anointing. That means you have the Christ in you to detect the Antichrist. Follow this one. Teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. Even as that's taught you, you shall abide in him. So is he talking about knowing subjects, things, or knowing the truth of God? Do you have an unction? Praise God. I know. To everyone born again. Is it the same as the one we read in 1 Corinthians 2? you know the things that are freely given to us of God. Is it the same thing? Praise God. Hallelujah. I got the nature of God. The nature of God is the Spirit of God. I know the things are of God. I cannot be deceived. No, it's not a prayer point. It's a nature. Praise God. It's our nature not to be deceived. Hallelujah. I have an unction from the Holy Ghost. So you need not that any man teach you. Now, who is the man he's talking about? Is he talking about a Bible teacher? No. After all, he said, I've written to you. The person who wrote the letter is a man now. Any man, those that deceive you. But the same anointing abides in you. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? So we are immune from error. We can't be deceived. Praise the Lord. That spirit is immune from error. It's the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Is it very clear? Let's go further now. Look at James 1. So, what will grieve a man who is born again? What will grieve him? Is when you refuse in your mind to acknowledge who you are. And I know there are so many believers today whose spirit are so grieved that maybe I stop grieving finally. I just say, look, I think we're in a grieving mood. James 1. He says, verse 21, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of knowledge, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save. Then verse 22, James 1, says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. He says, deceiving yourself. The word to deceive your own self is the word paralogizomai. Paralogizomai. Para means decide. Logizomai means to take account of. So what's going on? That means you refuse to take account of who you are. So in your behavior, in your attitude, you refuse to acknowledge who you really are. So he says, you deceive yourself. It's the same thing by you grieve yourself. You grieve yourself. That's not you. You know me? No, that's not you. I know you in Christ. Turn to the person and say, I know you in Christ. Your wife can tell the husband, you knew me when you married me. Now when I'm angry like this, the host of heaven is quiet. No, that's not you. Praise God. You are a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. As he is, so are you. I know that one. That's for church. No, that is not for church. That is who you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Imagine saying that all the time. I'm what he says I am. I'm born of the Spirit. I am new man myself. I am the Spirit of God. I am born of God. I cannot do evil. Praise God. Praise God. Imagine saying that all the time. Than saying, you know I'm a choleric. No, I know you don't say that one here. You know, I can easily... I'm not generally an alright person like that. You are deceiving yourself. You are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know, my anger sometimes, when I don't even know the things I will say, is like an utterance. Nobody. That's not who you are. Praise God. We all have the same nature. The only difference is that some believers are examples to us. But we are all the same. They are just the examples of who we are. We are not trying to, you don't try to be like another believer. We are all the same. Hallelujah. But when I see him, and I see him do the work, that's an example of what we ought to be doing. Let me see if you understand what I just said. So the Spirit is our nature. You say, Lord, give me grace to follow. You're only being lazy. Abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to... God, you don't want to act on the word. Hallelujah. See, I'm born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's who I am. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just show you something briefly. Very, very briefly. Now, concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The word there is pneumaticos. I remember having to explain this yesterday. Remember? Verse 3 and 4. So we said verse 3 refers to the born again human spirit, right? That calleth Jesus Lord. Can you remember that yesterday? So let's move to 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. He's not expecting you to be thinking about God now. God gives in the spirit. We have in the spirit. So the gifts are not God's own. The gifts are in the spirit. Charisma. So now, listen carefully now. Every time you see the word charisma, which is the word gifts, there is no Greek word for gifts that is in the plural. I've told you, plural is determined by what? Context. So, can we allow verse 4 to be plural? There are diversities. By mentioning the word diversities, then automatically it should be what? Gifts. Very good. The word diaresis, D-I-A-R-E-S-I-S, diaresis or charisma, that already makes it plural. Okay? Verse 5, there are diversities, diaresis, D-I-A-R-E-S-I, of ministries, that is the word administration, but the same Lord. Verse 6, diversities of operations, that's the word energy, that's effect. So, that means, the gifts in the ministries will have different effects. The moment a man is born again, hear this well, the capacity to function in the work of the ministry is not given to him after it. That is all God will do for a man to have the capacity for ministry. Let me repeat myself. The moment a man is born again, that is all the capacity. That is, see, at the new birth, you are all powerful. You are just as powerful as you will ever be. You don't become more human. You don't become more powerful. You don't become more of the Son of God after the new birth. From the new birth, you've got all the capacity that you will ever require. What happens after that? High in discoveries. For example, I remember in 1991, late 1992 actually, a friend of mine told me that God told him that he had just given me 3 gifts of the Spirit. I felt like breakdancing. Listen to breakdancing. Breakdancing. Only me, Lord. Only me. Only me. And I was so happy that one time again, my dad took me to one woman who was a prophetess, for a prophetess. And she said, burning candles. She said, the Lord showed her he had given me 2 gifts. So both my brother who is born again, and the prophetess, they had an agreement. So I felt, that's it.
two from three. So I said, no, it must be five. I said, they own me. And I was so happy. I was so happy. So happy. He said, you have the word of knowledge in your life now. I didn't know what it was. Word of knowledge. That means I will know this. Knowledge generally. Science. I didn't know what it was. Ignoramus. But they know that the day I got born again, glory to God, I was born perfect. Hallelujah. You see that? I was born perfect. Whatever you do today, you could have done it the day you got born again. Imagine someone gets born again and we have someone who is possessed. No, put that. Can I cast? You are still in the maternity ward of Christianity. We are here to even name you. Glory to God. From your first confession of faith, you can do the works of Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't develop charisma. It's not a training process. Charisma is an endowment. See, after I finish praying and studying, they may give me charisma. Praying and studying makes you effective. They don't make you powerful. You make your prayer powerful. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I said? You are the one that made your prayer powerful because of who you are. So praying and studying they make you effective. They don't make you powerful. Are you still there? So, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. The word manifestation means to unveil, to make naked and visible, so that nothing else is held back. Manifestation. That's why manifestation cannot be in the plural, because you cannot have manifestation two times. Manifestation is a full disclosure. Same word used in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. It's given to every man to profit without. Now look at verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12. Quickly take note of this because I'm going to run out of it quickly. For up to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, notice there are two words used for another. One of them is called alos. The other one is heteros. Alos means the same or the same kind. Heteros means another kind. So, alos, A-L-L-O-S, the same kind. Heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, another kind. So let me quickly tell you how it is used here for classification. Verse 8, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Pay attention now. The word of wisdom. Then it says, to alos, the same kind, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, so he's saying the word of wisdom is an alos of the word of knowledge. Note that. Verse 9. To another, heteros, faith by the same Spirit. So faith will be different from the word of knowledge. By the same Spirit, heteros. Then it says, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So the gifts of healing and the gift of faith are one of the same kind. Are you following this? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, one of the same kind. Then verse 10. This is a tricky one. To another, the working of miracles. So that means, and that's alos. That means faith, gifts of healing, workings of miracles are one of the same. Are you following this? Very good. And that's why we call them the power gates. The first two will be called what? The revelation gates. Very good. So there's a tricky one here. Then it says, to another, prophecy. That is alos.
Then he says, diverse kinds of tongues, heteros. Then he says, to another, that's allos, interpretation of tongues. That means tongues, obviously, and interpretation of tongues will be one of the same kind. So, prophecy seems to be lumped up with the power gifts, but it's not true. I will bundle it for you shortly. Listen carefully. So we have, I missed one. Discerning of spirits. Okay? Is called the same as prophecy. Then, kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues are grouped together. So, we're going to have a small issue with the sign of the Spirit and prophecy. So, put it together, we'll sort it. So, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, because they show you something. Both of them are about knowledge. Faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles are about power. Are we together here? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, of course, they have to be grouped together. Because you can't have interpretation of tongues without tongues. So they're grouped together. So we'll have prophecy and discerning of spirits. Are we following this? Are we following this? You will discover that the ones we have mentioned, they usually walk together. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. And then the gift of faith, workings of miracles, gift of healing. Sometimes you don't even know which one is in operation. They walk together. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, they walk together. That equates prophecy. Now, why then do we have prophecy and discerning of spirits put together? I'll leave that for you. Purposely. Why do we use, did he use heteros for both of them? They link them together. The other ones were very clear. Those ones who don't need, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and gifts of faith. They have been well classified as the power gifts. Then you have word of knowledge and word of wisdom are revelation gifts. And tongues, interpretation of tongues, are utterance gifts. So, prophecy, and which one? Well, I'll leave you with it. I have my answer here, but I won't give you. Go think about it. I'll ask you during the week. Verse 11, all this worketh the one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So wait. Then it begins to talk about the physical body, which is ministry. Then in verse 28, God has set some in the body. This is not the gifts now. This is the operations of the gifts. It says, apostles, prophets, in the order that they emerge, I've already dealt with in this series already. Miracles, gifts of healing. Now look at the word after that. So, the first three were separated. After that, gifts of healing, helps, governments, and of tongues. All apostles, a mistake would be, is he asking you, are all apostles? No. Are all operations apostles? No. Are all operations prophets, teachers? No. Are all operations workers of miracles? No. Are all operations the gifts of healings? No. Are all operations speaking with tongues? No. Are all operations interpretation? No. What? Why did he say this? If you just read before then, he had said, is the whole body an eye? No. Is the whole body an ear? No. So he's referring to functions of ministry in verse 28 to 31. Get this series before now to explain this in much detail. So, where we differ as believers is not in the gifts, it's in the ministry. All believers have the same gifts. We can call them gifts in the Spirit. You will not see the word gifts of the Spirit written by Paul. Because they are not gifts of the Spirit, they are gifts in the Spirit, or gifts by the Spirit. That is, because of the Spirit, these are the gifts. Where you have Hebrews 2:4, he says, gifts of the Holy Ghost is the word merismos, where you have dividings. So, charisma, every believer has the same charisma. Praise the Lord. Say, I have all the charisma in my spirit. See, these are natural things to me because I'm born again. Amen. So say, why don't I see those things? Do you even know about them? Do you even look at them? You don't. So well, my natural, see what is natural to me? I like to cancel young girls. You have already said that. I don't like helping people. Generally. When people are hungry, I give them food. So you have never put your attention on anything supernatural about you. You do well as an NGO, fine, I know. But you are yet to find out concerning things of the Spirit. Praise God. You find out. Talk about the best we have done is speaking tongues. And our tongues is very short-lived. It's when we are in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. So quickly. Singing the Holy Ghost. Father, I give you praise. Sing more. You are Lord, you are King, you are Father. You, are. You can't even stay long praying the Holy Ghost. You just start getting bored. You say, now we are going to pray. What were you doing before? Now we are going to enter. There was a prayer meeting I attended. Well, I was about to attend. Where I was there. He said, now, brother, we are about to enter the devil's territory. I took my Bible and said, I will follow you. Can you imagine someone saying? The man said, they are speaking in tongues, though. Now, brethren, we are now going to ask that the Spirit of God should come down here. And you are speaking in tongues. Is that not a lot of confusion? You spoke in tongues, and I said, the Spirit of God. How did you speak in tongues? See, that's paralogisoma. You spoke in tongues, and I said, Spirit move! Holy Spirit! Move me now, man. Oh, honestly, I'm waiting for you. Are you not confused? He gave you the easiest way to know it. Just talk in tongues. Hallelujah. That's all. No, add more. Say, I'm in the Spirit. I'm born by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've got all the gifts in the Spirit. So the Spirit is my nature. Amen. Is that clear? Okay, that's my nature. I don't have a contrary nature from God. I don't have a contrary nature apart from God. My nature is God's nature. Say, my nature is God's nature. I'm a good person. I'm a kind person. I'm a loving person. I'm peaceable. I'm easy to relate with. Hallelujah. I don't walk in strife. I'm not a stubborn person. I'm humble. I'm just like my Father. How about saying, I'm just like my Father. Glory, glory, glory. His Spirit is my Spirit. Say that so that your mind can be quiet. Say, His Spirit is my Spirit. His Spirit is my Spirit. His life is my life. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. So what do? Look at Ephesians 2:10. We walk in it. Praise the Lord. So say, Lord, change me. Lord, make me pure in heart. I like that song. Make my, who knows that song? Faithful and true. Yeah, that's his conga. When you look at me, is your righteousness you see? Lord, make me pure in heart. Don't let me make me clean. Only by your blood. Only by your blood. Just nice songs. They're saying nonsense. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. And when I used to sing that song in the early 90s, I'll play it in the afternoon. And so you will be having hallucination. And you'll be hearing voices. You think it's God talking to you. I want you to be close to me, my soul. Why are you always going afar, not near? You know it's hallucinations. You'll be hearing voices. And I say unto you, I don't want you to go astray. Come close to me. I want to always have you by my side. In the afternoon, 2 o'clock. So you're having hallucinations. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In this family, there's no distance. Praise God. So when you hear those voices, just be joking. Who is that again? Hallelujah. Are you there? Okay, now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Start the closer. You learning something? I am in the spirit. Paul says, you are not in the flesh. Glory to God. Can you imagine? Paul is so audacious. Why don't you allow us to say it ourselves? That means you have no choice. Say, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the spirit of Christ, is none of you. Say, if Christ be in you, then your body is dead to sin. Your spirit is life because of righteousness. Absolute statement. If the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Absolute statement. As many as are led by the spirit, they are. Hallelujah. Say, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, ever we cry, Abba Father. Even if you are not saying it. Covenant keeping God. There is, how can you call your father covenant keeping? There is no one like you. Abba and Omega. There is no one like you. From east to west. There is. Hallelujah. You know that's not the spirit of the Son. You are saying nice. It's good. But that's not the spirit of the Son. The somaturio says Father. Hallelujah. Consistent with the family. Hallelujah. Then no, but let us, there must be other things. The man of God said this. Somebody said this, that's so funny. He said, when you call people ministers of the gospel, it's an oxymoron. That's quite tough. You know oxymoron? Two opposites. So when you call some preachers of the gospel, is an oxymoron. How can you call yourself a preacher of the gospel? When people hear what you are preaching, they are crying. Yes! The Lord is crying out now! I give you 5 seconds. The Lord said, 5 seconds. I'm going to count 10. The door of salvation will be. I've done it before. And I was killing myself. They were rushing. I said, I see anointing. I was feeling myself. They see anointing. I said, 8, 9. I said, that means my anointing has been upgraded. 9, 10. I closed the door of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you there? We know God is our Father. The Spirit of God is our nature. Ephesians 2:10. So don't say, I need help to obey. You don't need help to obey. You just need sense to obey. Is that clear? I'm an obedient child. He said, I'll put my spirit in them and I will make them walk in my statutes. Paul says, it's God which has worked in us. Both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Say, God is at work in you. I love the way the original put it. Said, God has worked it in you. It's not a present tense. It's God which has worked. The word is energy. God has worked it in you. The ability to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Say, I have the ability to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. So stop praying a useless, aimless prayer. Lord, give me the strength. There's no strength. You have the strength. Hallelujah. You got the power. Praise God. You got the capacity. Praise God. Ephesians 2:10. You are the workmanship of God. We are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. See, I'm created in Christ Jesus. unto good works. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Created unto good works. Watch this. He says, which God has before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. He had before ordained. That word is a past tense. A past tense. He had prepared beforehand to make you ready. It's the word pro. Etamizo. P-R-O-E-T-I. Sorry, I'll take it again. P-R-O-E-T-O-I-M-A-Z-O. P-R-O-E-T-O-I-M-A-Z-O. It means to make you ready. You know the way you kick somebody to do something. That means we have been kicked. Praise God. We have been made ready to walk in them. God has prepared us. So when you see a challenge that deals with your character, know that God has prepared you for that situation. You are prepared. You are enabled of God. Hallelujah. Don't go and be praying, Lord, no, I need more grace. It's not more grace you need. It's more sense. More information. I'm what He says I am. And I can do what He says I can do. Hallelujah. Look at something. You know, yesterday we said, we all have access by one Spirit. Can you remember that? One Spirit. Now look at chapter 3 verse 5. I'm closing here. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, the same Spirit by which the apostles wrote the letters is the Spirit of the believer. So, the words in the epistles are the words of the Spirit within every believer. Hallelujah. As they sat down to write those things are the verb, verbages, the words, the phrases, the actions, the statements of the man who is born again. They are not just instructions. They are explanations of who we are, our capacity. That's why James will call the word a mirror. Where you see yourself. This is who I am. And this is what I can do. Hallelujah. I am born of the Spirit of God. Whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Hallelujah. Whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So what happens to believers is that Paul says, O ye foolish Galatians. That means you are not walking in your mind. Foolish. Your thinking has not aligned with the words. Because your thinking is not your spirit. That's why when you speak in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. Because it's your spirit that prays. So what do? You drag your mind along. You drag your mind along. You empower your mind to pray in understanding. So what happens was in growth, spiritual growth, is this. We now begin to renew our minds. When you take the written word to meditate, you are not feeding your spirit. You are talking to your mind about your spirit. Because everything you are reading is about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son. So it is your thinking, your mind, that uses the written word. That feeds on the written word. You are born of God. You are born of the Spirit of God. So spiritual growth is me taking these words written, which are the words concerning about my spirit. And I begin to meditate upon them. To find out who I am. I discover I'm a resolute spirit. I'm a strong spirit. I'm a never give up spirit. Hallelujah. I've got a sound mind. I've got the spirit of love and power. I don't have the spirit of fear. If I say that often, my mind comes to that comprehension. I am not weak. I'm not confused. I cannot be deceived. I cannot be deceived. I have an unction from the Holy One. I know the truth. I need not any man deceive me. For the same anointing teaches me of all truth. Hallelujah. I know the things that are freely given to me of God. As I say that, my mind begins to align. Begins to align. But if I keep feeding on junk, let us approach God. Let us come before God. God will do it. God will do it. What have I done? I'm making my spirit uncomfortable. But when we say, I am perfect, I'm not bragging on my mind or my human strength. I am bragging on the Spirit of God given to me in redemption, which is now my nature, my life. Praise God. Our capacity, our family inheritance, our DNA. I'm resolute. I don't give up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got the spirit of power. I've got the spirit of love. As He is, so am I in this world. Praise the Lord. We don't go for deliverance. No, we don't go for deliverance. How? For to do what? Praise God. How do you deliver such people? How do you do it? How do you say, come out? From who? From one that is born of God. How do you do it? Somebody is born of God. Say, come out! All the generational affliction for your great grandfather. How did you see a father in Christ? Which father did you see in Christ? I'm born of the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I walk in perfect soundness. I have insight. I have revelation. I have wisdom. I know all things. I recognize the leadings of God. I comprehend the things of God. I am not dull. I am very intelligent in the things of the Spirit. This is my nature. This is my DNA. I am born this way. I was made this way. I was wired like this. This is my nature. This is who I am. Glory to God.